Good afternoon. It is one bell of the afternoon watch, and this is your Captain Joe. I am not up in my captain's chair in the Gene Bosch Memorial Studio, but in the captain's chair today is in a park bench in a small park in the former Mare Island Naval Shipyard, which has fallen on evil times. So I'm here because yesterday was change of command in Polar Star, my much-loved Polar Star. She is once again in the dry dock here, and I thought to do my broadcast from her, but after with the captain being relieved, the captain relieving, the XO being relieved, the XO relieving, the chief engineer and the master chief, I decided that they had far too much going on. I looked at Polar Star today, and I see that the captain's absentee pennant is not aloft, which tells me that he is aboard, and I will explain that to those of you who are not accustomed in just a moment. So I send my greetings to all Polar Stars. She is on year four of a major overhaul, which will require her to come one more time to the former Naval Shipyard at Mare Island. And the next year, and this is supposed to keep her going for another 5 years. So I'm going to have a little commentary on that subject as well. But my greetings to her new captain, my best wishes, of course, to the captain being relieved, and to, in particular, all of her ship's company. May the trident of the polar regions be especially sharp and ready to work on and in your behalf in your next deployment, because you're getting ready to deploy once again to my beloved Antarctica. The medical list today includes two very serious surgeries which are about to happen. One of them is within my own friends of family rank. Actually, both of them are friends of family rank. One of them is a serious orthopedic procedure, and the other one is a procedure to hopefully hold off a cancer which has now done some malignant spreading. It is time to explain for those who have just joined me on the up in the captain's chair what the binnacle list is and the significance of it to all of Captain Joe's people. In sailing ship days, the ship surgeon would create a list each morning after sick call of all of the people who would not be able to make their sail stations or fulfill their other shipboard duties. And he would write this down on a paper and or a slate. It was probably on a slate, and the slate was hung from the binnacle, and the binnacle is the stand that holds the magnetic compass, the steering compass. In sailing ship days, of course, there were no gyro compasses. There was no GPS. There was just a very carefully adjusted magnetic compass housed in a binnacle, and on either side of the binnacle were, if the ship was made out of steel, were what are called politely quadrantal spheres, and to those of us who have used and navigated by a magnetic or steering compass, they're called the navigator's balls. So the binnacle list was posted on the binnacle. It was hung off of the binnacle stand, and thus hundreds and hundreds of years ago it became known as the binnacle list, and it remains so today. The sick list aboard all of my ships anyway was still called the binnacle list. It is called that on this program, And the significance of it to all of Captain Joe's people is that a placement on the binnacle list ensures that for those for whom prayer is a part of their life, that they will get the full benefits of the prayers of Captain Joe's people. And if prayer is not part of the life of any of Captain Joe's people, and I know that to be the case in some cases, then it also means that warm and healthy signals are being sent your way. And a placement on the binnacle list is a good thing. It is not something that guarantees that you're going to get worse. It almost and certainly guarantees that if it be in the grand scheme of things that you recover, that you will recover more quickly. And if it be in the grand scheme of things that you cross the bar, as will happen to all of us, some of us sooner rather than later, then it also will help, because you know that you will be surrounded and enfolded in the hands and in the palm of your hand of your Captain Joe. So binnacle list today, the two really serious surgeries that are coming up very shortly, those two people in particular, but all of Captain Joe's people who are on the binnacle list remain, as always, in the palm of my hand, remain in my heart and in my thoughts. And all of those good thoughts are coming your way from the captain's chair. Yesterday was change of command in Polar Star. In the Coast Guard and in the Navy, we relieve commanding officers every 2 years. I believe, and have believed for some time, and was not successful in doing this when I was the Commandant Jim Gracie in 1985 and 1986. Believe then that a command tour should be 3 years. In this case, it is 2 years, and it was 2 years ago that I was here in Vallejo, and I did my broadcast from underneath Polar Star. She was accessible at that time. Today, I have just driven past the dry dock where she is and saw that most of her structure, the steel above the main deck, is encapsulated, which tells me that there is some serious spray painting going on inside. And so I, after consultation with the two captains, with the two XOs, and with the Master Chief, I decided that I would not interfere in the work that was going on. One of the things that happens when a XO is changed out is that the XO being relieved and the XO relieving do a thorough inspection of the ship to make sure that what is going on is, and in particular with regard to the berthing spaces, the messing spaces, all of the spaces that are used for the care and feeding and sleeping of the crew, because that is in particular the area of responsibility of XO to the captain. And so the two XOs are extremely busy, and I think I've had about 14 XOs, six commands at sea and one group, now sector command, and I think I've had altogether 14 XOs. I'm pretty hard. I was pretty hard on my XOs. They had to work really hard, and they were totally responsible to me for the health and the safety and the well-being of my crew. I delegated a great deal of responsibility and authority to my XOs. The one thing I did not ever delegate was the responsibility to hold the disciplinary hearings called captain's mass. In some ships, XO holds what is called XO's mass, not in my ships. And when I was my one XO tour in Ingham, I chose not to do that. There are a number of other ways that XO, and in particular the chief's mess, can handle the discipline of the crew that do not require taking the recalcitrant member up to the cabin to captain's mast. and are almost as effective. But one of those is not to hold any kind of mass proceedings. That is a complete responsibility of the captain and the captain only. So I chose not to interfere in all of the things that the ship has going. I have taken a look at her this morning. I can see that she is in a considerable state of deshabille. And in fact, this whole former Mare Island shipyard is in sad and pathetic condition. I never understand why it is that we, the Navy and the Coast Guard in particular, because those are the two services to which I really belong, why we divest ourselves of incredibly valuable and important pieces of property. In the Coast Guard, we did it with Governor's Island in New York. I am a Governor's Island pioneer. And in the Navy, the examples are replete, and this is one of them. And here we find ourselves at a shortage of shipbuilding capacity, and we would be able to use, if the Navy still had this as the Navy command, would still be able to construct ships here, of that I am certain. What the commercial owner, the civilian owner of the shipyard part of the facility is doing now is, it looks to me like about their only contract is Polar Star once a year, and I don't know what other work they have got going on, but it just is beyond my understanding why we get rid of facilities like this. It was when it in its Navy times an absolutely wonderful facility, and it has a number of very interesting buildings, the architecture of which reflect the West in the 1850s, which is when this shipyard was first established. So I leave at that, but I am concerned that when the Polar Star contract is over, and she's got one more year to go on it, I think, that they will not have developed the capacity to do other work that is of which there is so much to be done in our country today, both in construction and in repair, which leads me to two of our carriers, which were inducted into Newport News Shipbuilding. Newport News is just outside of Norfolk. Newport News Shipbuilding is one of the premier shipbuilding facilities in this country. And both the George Washington and the John Stennis, nuclear-powered carriers, were recently inducted into Newport News for refueling and for some major repair work. And they got into the steam turbines. These ships are nuclear-powered. Instead of boilers, they have nuclear reactors. The reactors generate steam. The steam turns turbines, and the turbines then are used as the prime movers to move the ship. Do they do it through electric motors? I don't know the answer to that question, and I'm sure that one of my shipyard people, Captain Joe's people, who are shipyard people, can enlighten me on that. Do the steam turbines drive directly to the shafts and the propellers through reduction gears, or do they drive through electric motors as in an icebreaker? In any case, they took them into Newport News. They got into the turbines, and they found major, major damage in both of those ships. So they're going to be delayed coming out of Newport News. Probably their availabilities was 2 years. Probably this will extend it for another year, and which leads me to question once again, what the hell is going on with our shipbuilding people in the Navy and in the Coast Guard? Because at the change of command ceremony yesterday, it was a gathering of icebreaker people, former commanding officers of Polar Star. There were four of them there. And I, representing the wind class fleet, not many captains of them left. I may even be the senior living WIN class captain. If I'm not, I'm pretty close. I am, of course, the senior living captain in Ingham. Which leads me to Ingham, because one of the things that is going to happen with her is that I am going to organize cutting a piece of steel out of her. Not a vital piece, but a piece of significance anyway. And then with suitable ceremony, and then taking that to the Ingham that is under construction in Panama City, Florida, and have that piece welded into her, thus having a solid steel connection between the two ships. And I'm going to encourage her prospective commanding officer, whomsoever he may be, or she, and furthermore, whenever that's going to happen. Because one of the reports that has come to me just in the last few days is a further delay in her construction. She is number three in the series that are being built in Panama City. The first one is Argus. I believe the second one is Spencer. And the third one, of course, is Ingham, to carry on the name of my Ingham that is in Key West. So there's a piece of steel that's going into the new Ingham from the old, and a letter or some other way of communicating to her prospective commanding officer and her crew my wish, my hope, and my command that the indoctrination of each new crew member will include a touching of the piece of steel from my Ingham. It looks like it may be as much as 3 years. Which leads me directly to the next icebreaker. At the command ceremony, change of command ceremony yesterday, there were almost all icebreaker people, icebreaker captains, and people who have been involved with the cutter force. All of us cuttermen, experienced cuttermen in a part of our profession that has very few members. So we get together and we talk about friends and shipmates who are no longer with us. And then we talk about where the hell is the new ship? Where are the new ships, plural? Why are we messing around with getting what is essentially an offshore supply ship with an ice belt? Why are we messing around with that? Why don't we have the new icebreaker doing her father's business up in the high latitudes, both north and south? The number that came to me in one discussion yesterday was, Captain Joe, get ready for this. We are now talking about 2030. And in the meantime, the Russian Bear is deploying their very powerful, very heavy nuclear-powered icebreakers all the way across the North East Passage. The Chinese are taking advantage of this and shipping liquefied natural gas back and forth across the Northeast Passage. And something is amiss and awry in both of our services in the shipbuilding and ship repair business. So I took the opportunity to talk to the Commander Pacific Area, 3-star. I've known him for several years. He and I meet at changes of command, and he always recognizes my presence when he makes his remarks. A somewhat unnecessary but appreciated boost to my already inflated ego. So I said, Admiral, what's your next assignment? And he said, I'm going to stay as Commander Pacific Area for at least another year, and then we'll see what happens. And I said, well, if you have any connection with the commandant and they want a little bit of help with the icebreaker procurement business, I said, my sea bag is packed. And I'm ready to go back to Washington and see what I can do. I said, I am Healy Sea Daddy, along with Captain Lawson Brigham. I said, bring me back on active duty. I will pedal the exercise bike in to get ready. I probably will not meet the physical standards anymore. I'll have to get an exemption or a waiver. But let me have Lawson, let me have Captain Brigham back and a few other icebreaker people that I would select. And then cut me loose on this icebreaker procurement business and let me see what I can do. Well, he looked away. And then he looked back at me. And he said, well, Captain Joe, I am a area commander. And I don't think that I'm going to take the commandant on about that, about bringing you back to active duty and about working on the new icebreakers. So I said, well, Admiral, I have a full dance card. I have an application in to command the ferry system for 6 months, and I'm not hearing anything from the governor, and now we're going to have an election and a new governor, and I'll have to restart that whole process, but the commandant better get moving if she wants me to come in and see what I can do with this whole thing. All of this is to say that I detected a certain lack of enthusiasm or interest in bringing me back to have anything to do with anything having to do with new icebreakers. What I am really concerned about is that it doth seem to this captain that there is far too much going with whatever the flow is. If we thought that the Mendenhall Glacier was moving slowly, if we think that the Wubo Glacier down on the Antarctic Peninsula is moving slowly, that is nothing to what is going on with the procurement of icebreakers. And now, my next Ingham, what is going on? I lust in my captain's black heart to, I'd even not even have to go on active duty. Give me a pass to get into the new Coast Guard headquarters at St. Elizabeth. St. Elizabeth, by the way, was the old federal mental institution. And let me see what I could do. They don't even have to give me official orders. I would just go down and kind of walk around and talk to people and see what was going on, go down to that shipyard, see what was going on. No interest in that. On to other business. The 4th of July for your captain was a glorious time. I had seven of my grandchildren and two sets of parents, two of my children and their respective husband and wife, all such much loved people, and they were camping, set up a campsite on my property. We did a number of different things. One thing that one of my granddaughters, Glory Jane, is addicted to horses, and so I asked Captain O'Brien if I could bring him and any of my other grandchildren that wanted to come along to come and do a horse visit. And he and his wife, Mary O'Brien, were so kind and so gracious to allow me to bring the young people over for a horse visit. But that was just one of the things that we did. Your captain now has a tattoo. It is, I hope, a temporary one, although I don't seem to have much success in getting any of it off. And one of the things that we did was somebody bought a whole library of what are supposed to be temporary tattoos, and you put them on and you wipe them down with water, and they then stick to your skin. So there was a bet running that the captain would not allow a tattoo to be put on his body, and the bet then moved into a financial level in which my son-in-law bet that I would, and my daughter Heather who is the youngest of our six children, said, nope, Cappy will never allow that. They bet $20 on it. When I heard that there was money involved and that there was the opportunity for $20 to move from one side of the family to the other, I said, heck yes. So one of my granddaughters came over. We had trouble finding a suitable one with a nautical theme. So on my right forearm is what I thought was to be a temporary tattoo of a shark. And every effort on my part to remove this, now that everybody has moved on, gone back to Alaska or Bellevue, whichever place they live. And so I've tried to get this thing off. It remains. Now it looks like forever. When the time comes for me to go into that final box and be draped with the flag that I continue to serve even today, this shark tattoo will probably still be on my arm. We did a lot of other wonderful things, and it was the kind of celebration that I talk about on this broadcast because I always hope that those families in Captain Joe's people who have one or two little rough spots will take the opportunity to get together a family gathering like this. Whatever the personality of your particular family is, these family gatherings where you don't talk politics, you don't talk religion, you don't talk anything except enjoying each other, having, drinks are part of your way of life, having a few drinks together, playing a lot of games, enjoying the children and enjoying each other for the time that you're able to be together. It enriches my life immeasurably each time that I do it. And I highly recommend it that you take the risks. And there are always risks. When there are soft spots and soft points in a family and you try to pull something like this off, there are always risks. But if you set a few simple rules of kindness and compassion and healing, then it will almost certainly come out great. And I highly recommend it. We had just a wonderful, wonderful time. And when the departure ceremonies come, I try to make them as short as possible. But when you have seven grandchildren and four adults, all of whom need to be part of the departure ceremonies, it takes a little while to go through everybody with an individual word for each member, and then finally the captain's blessing as they head out, drive up the hill from my house, and my eyes grow dim. I cannot see. I have been talking to you live, unscripted, on Voice of Vashon 101.9 and voiceofvashon.org from a park not very far from Polar Star in the old Mare Island Naval Shipyard. I'm headed from here to do a couple of other errands and missions here in the Bay Area, and then I fly back to SeaTac this evening. And next week, I'll be broadcasting live, unscripted, and unrehearsed from the captain's chair on the magical Isle of Vashon. And very soon, my grandson Joel is having his wedding at Captain's Quarters. I've got a lot to talk about that. And then after that is Strawberry Festival, and Kate, the executive director for Voice of Vashon, and I will be broadcasting live the car parade on Sunday. So lots of stuff for you to make sure that you want to be a part of our time together. As always, this is your Captain Joe. I'm on station and watching properly and trying to find somebody to clean up this park and cut the grass. It's really a mess. And as always, we never say goodbye. We say until we meet again, and that will be next week. To all of Captain Joe's people, and especially those who are about to have significant medical procedures, you, as always, are in the palm of my hand. God bless.